So let's say you're in the middle of a physical exam. What is it that you need to look for there in regards to HSDD?
There are really two things that I look for that are cues to me. Number one is dryness, atrophy of the tissues. And that can be in the postpartum patient. It's not necessarily in the older woman. It can be in somebody after surgery. It can be in the perimenopausal, postmenopausal years. And sometimes it's related in the premenopausal years to chemicals, products that women are using on their vulva that make them very red. So either very dry or very red are things that I look for. And then the second thing I look for is muscle tension in the pelvic floor. It's that patient where you're fighting her to get the speculum in. Something's going on there in the levator ani muscles. And that's a clue, that's a cue to me that something has happened to this patient that's made her very uncomfortable with that part of her body. Now, that may be physical or sexual abuse. It may be something else. But it's a clue to ask again. Because when those have been problems for women, when they've been abused in the past, they will frequently say no when screened. They will say, no, nothing ever happened to me. They'll say that when my nurse asks. They'll say it when I ask again. But when I notice something on physical exam, I may ask a third time. And I'll say, you know, I'm noticing that your muscles are really, really tense. We often see that in women that have had something happen to them in the past. Are you sure nothing ever happened to you? And then sometimes she's willing to open up. So those are the physical findings that I look for most specifically.
I get concerned with loss of elasticity. Loss of elasticity comes from normal hormonal changes with age. And you can pick this up often in the mid-30s as we begin to see it. And loss of elasticity can occur not only from hormonal change, but as part of the vicious cycle of it hurts, so I don't want to have sex, and then I don't have sex as frequently, and therefore things narrow down even more, which means it hurts more, which means I don't want to have sex even more. So you've got this vicious cycle. And that's why elasticity is important to judge during an exam, a vaginal exam specifically.
So clearly, changes that cause pain or discomfort in sex could decrease desire. But what about other physical problems?
Well, remember that our physical health impacts our sexuality. And so women who have depression will have low sex desire, and sometimes that's related to thyroid disease. So we actually do need to do a complete physical examination on a patient, looking for thyromegaly, looking for other clues. Women who have a lot of other pain, fibromyalgia, severe arthritis, other physical conditions that make moving around painful. So it may not just be vaginal pain, but pain in other parts of her body that can also impact her sexuality.
Arthritis.
Absolutely. Arthritis is a bad one. Back pain, irritable bowel.
So we want to think about chronic illnesses, and we also want to think about other intermittent conditions, so like the pregnancy being postpartum or being perimenopausal, those kinds of things. They're really important. When we look at the most common comorbid conditions with HSDD, they're depression and anxiety disorders. So we need to be thinking about these. It makes sense that it's all happening in the brain. So we really do need to keep those in mind. And if we think somebody has low desire, one of the questions we need to ask about is mood, because we need to assess whether they're depressed, and that's related to the decline in their desire.
But doctors do think a lot about lab tests. What's the role of lab tests in regards to finding underlying causes, maybe for HSDD?
This is where we change the whole perspective. When it comes to sexual medicine, it's not like, well, you've got diabetes, so we'll check a sugar level, or thyroid, we'll check a hormone level. What we're talking about here and looking specifically at blood tests, frequently we're approached and say, well, do you draw hormone levels, estrogen levels, testosterone levels? And certainly from a point of view of sexual desire, in the lay media, everybody wants to know, what's my testosterone level? The problem is that the testosterone assays in this country are based on male assays. Women live in the lower 10th percentile of these assays. Hence, these assays are not sensitive enough to really give us an answer. And also, do you get a total testosterone or a free testosterone or a bioavailable testosterone? What sort of tests are there? And then if we don't have the ability to make a diagnosis based on this kind of sensitivity of a hormonal assay, then we've got to get back to the sincerity of the history taking, because that's going to be the most important thing. What are your thoughts?
I completely agree with you. I mean, women are looking for validation. And so the thing about a blood test is that if it comes back and it shows that the testosterone level is, quote, low, then that is a validating thing for her. And it's important for us to be able to get past that and to say, to validate her concerns without that. Because I completely agree with you. When an assay goes from here to here and women live down here in our normal levels, then no matter where we are in that assay, it's going to vary tremendously blood draw to blood draw. And in fact, on the same vial, it will vary. There's no point.
It's funny because I'm the psychiatrist, so I'm used to asking and talking to patients about what's going on with them and basing my diagnosis on the information I get. At the same time, though, I think there is a place for some laboratory tests. So when the H&P indicates something is wrong or there may be something, if somebody has a goiter, you definitely should get a TSH.
Sure.
If someone has galactorrhea or they have some other complaint like that, you need to get a prolactin level.
Absolutely.
If they're fatigued, you may want to consider getting a CBC. These are not out of the range of what you would think about in the context of relying on the H&P. Also, in my practice, when we've identified that someone has HSDD and we've tried some interventions and they failed, that's often when I go to check things like testosterone levels. Because we know that drugs like SSRIs, which I use frequently, can contribute to lowered testosterone. Now, the question really is that how good is the assay, which is part of the problem, and then also what does it mean when you get the answer, even if it was accurate? Because we don't really know what testosterone levels have been across the lifespan of women. But I think what I usually do is I get a sex hormone binding globulin, which is the protein that binds testosterone. And it tends to be elevated when people have more estrogen on board, but I don't necessarily check estrogen levels. And then I check a total testosterone and a free testosterone and figure out how much bioavailable testosterone do they have. It's interesting, too, in women with polycystic ovary syndrome, we also check testosterone levels because they may have too much testosterone. And either too much or too little testosterone for that individual woman may in fact play a role in diminished desire. It's not true on a global level. You can't just say this level of testosterone means this person's going to have HSDD. But for an individual woman, perhaps those levels are meaningful. And then if we make an intervention to address that, we track those levels again.
And I actually don't find the levels helpful at all. From the history, I can pretty much figure out if the sex hormone binding globulin is going to be high or low, based on drugs that she's taking. If she's on an SSRI and I know that affects libido, then I don't need a hormone test to tell me that it did that.
You know, Dr. Clayton, you mentioned SSRIs a little bit earlier and that they could potentially cause problems in regards to low sexual desire. What other medications might have an impact on a woman's sexual desire?
Well, most of the kinds of medicines that act in the brain can have an effect because obviously this is where it's generated from. So drugs like narcotics, benzodiazepines, and other kinds of psychotropic medications like potentially atypical antipsychotics, things like that, could have an effect on sexual functioning. There are also meds for chronic medical conditions that have an effect. So if someone has, especially if you're talking about postmenopausal women, that's when we start to see cardiovascular disease. So they might be on a thiazide diuretic or they might be on a nonspecific beta blocker. Those may be problematic. We also can see problems with antihistamines.
Well, oral contraceptives will suppress the ovarian production of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Now, testosterone also comes from the adrenal glands. But my most distinguishing question for a patient is, was your desire different before you went on birth control pills? And for a small percentage, at least in my experience, there is a dramatic change when she went on birth control pills.
And the timing of that is really important, because a lot of women will think it needs to happen, it should have happened in the first month. But that's really not true. Hormones take a long time to work because they get into cells, they change genetic expression, et cetera. So it's really a longer period of time, but it still has to do with onset of use.
Like a lot of other conditions, though, psychological issues might play a role. Is it possible that the cause could be emotional and maybe not physical?
Performance anxiety, which we classically talk about in men with erectile dysfunction, and they don't want to be intimate at all because they're afraid they'll have to perform and they can't, it's not different for women. It's a different circumstance, but women also have that impact. You know, in the old days, everything was in your head, and then 15 years later, everything was the biology and the hormones, and now we understand it's all of it.
Depression is commonly comorbid with HSDD, and we need to think about that in our patients, and we need to elicit a history about that and make that diagnosis. And then we were studying a questionnaire to try to evaluate low desire, and every woman, whether they had low desire or not, complained about stress and said this was a major factor for them. So stress is affecting all of us, but it isn't specifically related to HSDD. Although in an individual woman, we need to identify what those stressors are and see if we can make an intervention with regard to those.